season of the One Board podcast is brought to you by Bellwether Games. Discover joy when you play one of their expanding lineup of fun and diverse games. Bellwether Games are both high quality and enjoyable for the whole family. Visit bellwethergames.com to explore all their titles and find a new addition for your collection today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the One Board Podcast. This is Rick White, and joining me, as always, is a man who lives by the life philosophy, you can never have too many buttons, Ryan Gutowski. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rick, and I'm glad that you brought this topic up. I got 15 new buttons this week, and I'm pretty excited about them. One is a pearl color. The next one is a turquoise color. I got three red buttons, but you would think that they're all the same color. Nope, they three different shades of red.
Boom.
Golly, I got so many buttons, son.
I got so many buttons, son.
That's actually the name of my first album. Got so many buttons, son.
I have been looking forward to that album dropping for years now.
It's going
to
be really good. There's a lot of raps and beats on it.
Of course,
it's an R&B album.
Yeah.
But yeah, so living by so many buttons. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing very well. We've got soccer season almost winding down.
That's right. Put that soccer season to bed.
Maybe another week, possibly more. It depends on a lot of different things, but it's been quite crazy. So not a lot of free time, not a lot of time at home, but, it's been really fun. Playing well, so that's good.
Have you ever thought of not being a part of sports, like this whole sports ball situation that's going on in your life? Have you ever thought, like, maybe I could not sports?
And maybe I could not sports. I don't know. You know, with those darn contracts saying that I have to show up. No, I don't know if I could do that. We have a good time. It's definitely a fun thing to do. It just means that I don't have quite as much time for the other things like board games and such.
Yeah.
But you guys had a fairly exciting weekend yourself over at the Gutowski house.
Yeah, man. Our middle child, Josiah, turned 13 years old. So he's a big dude now. He's always been a big dude because we're all tall people and he's becoming a giant. And so I'm kind of concerned, actually, because he is getting really tall. So that could be a problem.
Yeah, he is taller than me.
He is.
He makes me feel like a little boy when I stand next to him.
As he should.
And so he is going to be required to sit in a chair anytime I come over or interact
with
your family.
Yeah, that's the only way you can do it. Put him in his place.
It only seems fair.
I feel like you should force him to be in a baby seat every time. This way, just make sure, knock him down a peg, you know?
There you go.
Get in that baby seat over there, Josiah.
So did you guys, as part of the celebration or as part of, you know, today on Sunday, get the chance to play any board games over at your house?
Yeah. So this past weekend, for those who don't know, was International Tabletop Day. It was Saturday, Woo-hoo! The 28th, Josiah's birthday. So we didn't actually do a ton of gaming on the 28th, but we did get some gaming in. I got some gaming in with my friend Brian today on Sunday, just chilling around the house. He came over and we played some games. And I think we're going to play, me and Aaron, and are probably going to play a game after we get done recording. So, I think we did some good gaming. And also, speaking of birthdays, last week we actually addressed a question about a 12-year-old's birthday, I believe, on our Game Doctor segment. And so, was it last week or the week before? I don't know.
I believe it was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. I don't know how time works, Rick. So
I don't either.
So Josiah's birthday, he actually ended up getting two games. He got the game, we gave him the game Super Fight, which is a game that our friends, the Campbells up in St. Louis, they had a copy of it, and Josiah got to play over the Christmas holidays and, just had a great time with it. It's Super Fight is essentially, a non-garbage version of Cards Against Humanity, I guess. No, it's the whole black and white card setup where you're submitting a card with some kind of additions. So, one might be a grandmother, and then with and then you add on laser eyes and a bag full of cats or whatever. So you have these hypothetical fights. And so each player submits these different cards. And it gets real silly, man. It's just a silly, silly game. But Josiah had a really good time when he was playing with our friends. And so he wanted that game. So I picked up a copy for his birthday. He got that. And then One Night Ultimate Alien. My sister and brother-in-law, nice. My brother and sister-in-law picked up that for him. You can play as a cow. I mean, I feel like that is why the game exists, because you can be a cow. You know?
Right, exactly.
So we haven't played that one yet, so we're going to probably check that out this week.
Yeah, I've been interested in getting my hands on that. It's gone on sale a couple of times, and I just never pulled the trigger. I think part of that is because I actually still haven't gotten into any of the characters from One Night Ultimate Vampire. We play One Night every few weeks at my school with my students, and they really like it. But as the expansions came out, some of the roles started becoming a little bit more and more complex.
Yeah.
So One Night Alien has some stuff that I think does add some complexity, but I don't know. I think it would be fun to add in those different elements, especially if you've got a gaming group that's what you're there for. It might be pretty fun to do. So I'm excited to hear that, how that one turns out for you guys.
Yeah. I like how they can stand alone also. So he's got Daybreak already. He got that for Christmas, but he, I think One Night Ultimate Alien has some different actions and some different characters in it that look really fun. So, he is a fan of that, and it's something that his friends will play because they're all on that teenage, age range, and so they'll they'll play that stuff, which is it's cool to see, and social activity, man, you know, it's good stuff.
Definitely.
So
awesome. Anything else hitting the table?
Yeah, so this week we got pretty heavy into Great Heartland Hauling Company. Have you heard of this one?
Yes. Is that the one, was that the Green Couch first game?
So Jason Katorski. Yeah, Jason Katorski, who we had on the show last week, I believe. Yeah, last week. That was his first game. He created this game before he started Green Couch Games. And we actually talked about it on the show last week. Well, it was part of the Amazon sale. If you pay attention to our Facebook page, facebook.com/oneboardfamily, you'll see that anytime there's a big deal, we usually try to let you guys know. That's one reason why you should definitely follow us on Facebook, so that you can know about big sales when they're going on. And so they had a huge sale last Monday, and Great Heartland Hauling Company was in that sale, got it for $13 and some change. It's a great nice. Card game, man. It's actually, it feels a lot like, it's got some of the mechanics of Ticket to Ride, where you are collecting these sets and you have to collect these. Let's say you are trying to load up some cattle or soybean onto your truck. So you need to collect enough cards to load up that number of soybean or cattle onto your truck. You get them on your truck, and then you also have to collect another set of cards to unload those in a different location. And so you've got these gas cards. You can spend money on gas. It's a really cool game, just the mechanics of it, and it seems to scale really well. It plays 2 to 4 players. I kind of wish there was a fifth player. I think that there's actually an expansion for a fifth player, if I'm not. I got to look on Board Game Geek for that. But it is, it's a really cool game, and we've actually been playing it all week. We got it on Thursday, I think, and we've played it 5 times already. So it's a really, really cool game. It doesn't, take too long. It's about 30 minutes, and the mechanics are pretty easy. In fact, my oldest one, 14 years old, Emily, she is the hesitant gamer in our family. She's like, how long does it take? Will it be boring? How much time in between turns? Stuff like that.
Is this going to be boring? Yeah. Go ahead and let me know.
Yeah. Tell me now if I'll be bored. And so we end up playing, I end up getting her into it, and she was like, that was fun. I like it. So I'm sure she's going to play that one again. And then I got to play Role Player again today. Love that game. It's really good. It's just a cool game.
Nice.
It's a lot of math, man. If you do not math well, do not mess with Role Player. So
I'm looking at BGG right now, and there is an expansion called Great Heartland Hauling Company Badlands that comes with a fifth player token.
Okay. I might need to do
that. And it's for sale in the BGG store if you need to get yourself for $6.
Okay.
So, yeah. Maybe Ryan's going to be making a purchase while we're doing this episode.
That's
as I've
right.
done many times
yes.
while we record.
You've spent a lot of your money while recording this podcast.
Yeah.
So
it's very dangerous for me to sometimes do this podcast. It destroys my wallet.
Yes.
No, that all sounds awesome. Yeah, I've been interested in Great Heartland Hauling Company, but now I guess I'll probably play the wait until I come and play with you guys.
Yeah.
And then also Role Player, one that I've been looking at. So, yeah, it sounds like I need to make a trip out there sometime soon so that we can knock some of these games out.
That would be great, man. We International Tabletop Day was Saturday, like I said earlier, but we did not play very many games. We played, we had some friends come over. We saw, Avengers Infinity War, and it was fantastic. That movie, crazy.
Yes.
Did you see it?
We saw it last night too. And, I told somebody it messes you up for a little while. You need to just kind of, Sarah and I didn't really do much talking afterwards other than just, well, we talked about the movie a lot, but there was still the whole, I just need processing time for a second.
Yeah. You look at her, you're like, I need to be alone. Could you step outside the car?
separate paths home.
Me and you need to talk after this, after we finish recording then. So anyway, after the movie and everything, and we got to sit down with some friends. They came over and we played just a variety of different games. So we showed them, we played Quartz, played Great Heartland. We played a couple others. It was good. We had a good time. So, but it wasn't the hour upon hour of live streaming that we did last year on our Facebook page that I really had a fun time with. I kind of wish we got to do that, but we'll do that. We'll save that for 2019.
Yeah. We'll figure something out. I mean, we can stream whenever we want. We live
That's
our
true.
Lives. We kind of had a busy weekend as well. We live in Clarkston, which is a very strong, refugee community. And so we had the Refuge 5K this Saturday, which is hosted by the Refuge Coffee Company. That's one of the big businesses downtown. And so Sarah was walking and participated in that. My knee's been kind of aggravated lately, so I was unable to participate. I just kind of walked around in circles and waited for Sarah to arrive. And because she walked it, that kind of took a while. So I kept myself entertained. Yeah, there was a couple folks from our church and from the community that we knew that I got to see and hang out with for a bit.
That's awesome.
And then got home. Sarah did something afterwards. We went to the Clarkston Culture Festival, which was pretty cool, a little festival in town, and then, went and saw the movie, and enjoyed that. And then today had church, and then Sarah had a baby shower. So there's not been a lot of time just kind of relaxing. We've been quite busy. So, hopefully, and to be honest, one thing I do anytime some of these major Marvel movies come out is I watch all of them before that have preceded it. So Saturday,
that's
before
a lot
we went
of
and
watching,
saw Infinity
man.
War, we watched Civil War and I had Doctor Strange as well. So it was got to make sure we stayed updated and knew what the heck was going on.
Yeah.
But now maybe we'll actually play some games instead of just watching movies. I did, in this past week, though, have the chance to play Sarah again in Fugitive, which we talked about, I think, a couple weeks ago. And a really great two-player game from Tim Fowers. And we played it while watching one of those movies, and I realized that is Sarah's kryptonite. She can't beat me if she's also watching a movie.
Nice.
So I'm trying to set it up to where that's the only time that we play this game from now on.
That's really good.
She's watching a movie. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, hey, let's play this in the living room. Oh, look what's on right now.
Oh, we can't turn it off now. We'll just play and watch at the same time.
That's really good. You trapped her. You got it.
Yes. So. That got it.
Good job, man.
Well, Ryan, I think, you know, maybe some people heard about some games that maybe they want to check out, and we'll hopefully have a few more games to tell you about in our next upcoming episodes with maybe a little more free time. We'll see how it goes. But we've got a great treat for everybody today. We've got an interview coming up here with Dan Machado of Smart Iguana Games. So we want to make sure that you stick around for that after this break. All right, everybody, welcome back. And Ryan and I are here now with Dan Machado, the business manager of Smart Iguana Games. Dan, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. So we've got you here today to talk to us about Gravity Warfare, which is a game that's on Kickstarter right now and a game I actually got to play test with you out at Gamerama. But before we get in kind of into some of the details of Gravity Warfare, what in the world is a smart iguana? Can you please explain that to me?
Well, the name came from, where we come from. Our home is Venezuela, or I was raised in Venezuela with my family. And, the iguana is very, proliferating. What's the word?
Very prolific. There's lots of
prolific,
them out there.
Yes. It's very prolific. It's everywhere. It's like palmetto bugs here in the Carolinas.
Man.
And we wanted to have a business name that's kind of showing or having some sort of significance to where we come from and where we were raised. And also the iguana is a spirit animal, and it stands for kindness and understanding, as well as adjusting to new environment. So changing our lives from where we were and all our careers and then trying to build this company was very significant to us. So
now, Dan, this is Ryan. All I can imagine now is a palmetto bug and a smart iguana merging and becoming this horrifying flying creature that whips you with its tail. Is that accurate?
No. I'm kind of terrified that that is the exact same thing I was thinking of, too.
Okay, good. I'm not crazy.
We've been spending too much time together.
Yes. So, Dan.
We had a lot of adjectives that we did a lot of voting on. Lasted for quite a while, and you know, we picked the one that it's pretty good. I think people like it. People really like the name.
That's awesome. So how did Smart Iguana Games begin, and how long have you been doing this?
We've started Smart Iguana Games in 2017 January, I think is our birth date, and we started doing it late 2016 actually. Because my dad brought the game over to the house because it was just forgotten for years. And we started playing it. And I was like, well, this game was pretty good back then. So it's pretty good now. And why don't we make it into a real game? And that's what we decided to do after some investigation and looking into the board gaming industry and how it was. It turned out that we found a lot of articles that show that the board gaming industry is growing at large rates every year, so 20-30% every year. So we decided to dive into it, and here we are.
And in looking at, you know, kind of your website, it sounds like, you know, Smart Iguana is not just, you know, it's a family affair, right? I mean, it's a lot of your family members together?
Yes. The whole game... we needed everybody to make the game what it is today. And without everybody's different expertise and likeness of playing different types of games, we couldn't have done it without them. We decided to get together since we brought the game. And my sister, she's an artist, so we knew we had that covered. My brother, he's a 3D designer, so he helped a lot with the designs of the pieces and everything, the platform. I have a business degree, so I decided to take on the red tape and all the business aspects of, you know, things that nobody wants to do. you know, everybody had their part in the game, and we're pretty happy with how it turned out.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's very convenient that you have all those different people in your... You essentially do have a board game company in your family. That's very
nice.
Convenient.
Very nice.
We were lucky. We were lucky that we had our different paths, and we have those different sets of skills that brought us together. And what's really showing as an asset right now is the fact that most of my brothers and sisters, everybody except my parents, that they're here with me. I have a brother in France, which has a game, and he's played it over there. So we have a small community in France. We also have my sister. She's in Australia. I have a brother and a sister in Spain. Well, actually, three of them. Two brothers and a sister there in Spain. Before, they were in Hungary and different places. But we had a nice, you know, we were playing Risk. Domination of the planet.
There you go.
But we had all these little groups and cliques everywhere, and we had a lot of feedback from different types of people, from different cultures. So that really helped out with the game at the end.
That's awesome. Now, you know, you had mentioned how the game, you know, came out of storage for several years. You know, I kind of read up a little bit about this game, but you probably have some more details to it, but. The Gravity Warfare has probably the most interesting origin story that I've heard. So can you share that with our audience?
Yeah, my dad did the game, or he says he dreamt it. So he was in the living room or wherever, and he was napping, and then he wakes up and thinks of his thought of his game, and he was he's a carpenter, master carpenter, and we had a wood shop. And he just whipped out the game in a few minutes. And he had the first prototype ever made in around 2001. We played it. It was really small. I still have it. I have it right next to me. And we played it when we were young. And then it was just put away under his bed for a long time. And just, you know, a couple years ago, he found it because he was just cleaning out some stuff in the old house. And he found it, brought it over. And we're like, hey, this game was pretty good. So there was no cards or nothing. It was just a big wooden die with colors. And then the platform was a small wooden platform that still balanced, still there. But it was very robust. We played with like little wooden chips and rocks and stuff.
So for the person who hasn't yet visited your Kickstarter page for Gravity Warfare, kind of explain, give us an elevator pitch to a new listener or a person who's just finding out about this game. Kind of give an idea of what they're going to see when they look at this Kickstarter project.
Gravity Warfare is a dexterity game that involves strategy, card management, and has a takedown mechanic. The goal of the game is for you to get rid of all your pieces. At the beginning of the game, you choose a color set of pieces. You have three different types and different weights, which have a different effect on the platform. And once you get rid of all your pieces, you win the match, you get points, and you start a new match. Usually you go to 20 to 30 points, however many points you want to go to, and then whoever gets to that score wins. Or you can play best out of two or three rounds, and the person with the most points at the end of those rounds wins. Now, if you make the pieces fall off the platform while you're playing, you actually lose the match, lose points, and other people score. You never want to make pieces fall off the platform. And you play on this self-balancing board that's standing about 10 inches from the table. And it is really self-balancing. So you can tilt it all the way to the end, almost 90 degrees, or, you know, vertical, all the way vertical.
Yeah.
And it will never fall. You can let it go and it will just wobble and tilt, but it will just come back to balance and state.
And that is definitely true because I worked really hard to try to make that thing fall off because I was like, yeah, right, there's no way. And like, it is legit. That thing, and I don't understand how it works, like, you know, and it's probably a trade secret that you don't want to, you know, be passing out to everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But that thing is really cool, the way that it balances. And, you know, you did a great job describing the game, but I would say that anybody that's interested really needs to go check out the website and see this thing in action.
Yeah.
Because it is really cool. when I first saw it, I can say, you know, I was like, this looks like kind of a little boring balancing game. Like, I wasn't super excited at first, but like, as soon as, you know, you start spinning the thing and you see how much like putting the pieces on the platform causes it to actually tip over and stuff, man, that it really is a really cool design. That like, I think if it hadn't been done so well, the game wouldn't been as fun, but you guys have really made a great little product here for Gravity Warfare. I like it a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate it. What I like to do when I start explaining the game about that point where I tell them about the points, I like to grab the base and just start moving it back and forth. and the platform stays horizontal, but I'm moving like the base is like a pendulum, and it doesn't move. And I like to see people's faces. Oh my God, what is
that? That's really cool. Everybody's sitting there saying,
"Space age technology.
Yeah. Who is this wizard?"
Yeah, but it's good. We it made me really happy the first time that we showed it publicly outside of the playtesting groups here locally in South Carolina, and the game shop that really helped us get the game developed. Our first convention was Dice Tower Con last year, and it was incredible. We were so nervous about showing the game, and we didn't really know what the response would be from people, even though people from, you know, the game shops and everybody had seen it really liked it. We were just like in the big leagues now, so mm-hmm. We were really nervous. But I remember taking a break. I was the whole morning, I was just showing people the game, and people were really enjoying it and just running through groups of players. And then I decided, I'm going to go take a break and see what other games are out there and just take a look around. And every time I looked back at our tables, because we had 1 to 3 tables open at any given time, I would just see people surrounding our tables and laughing and everybody just having a good time. And then all of a sudden you hear like, oh my God, I'm at FOIL. And, people were really having a good time, and it really made me happy. Like, it was a breakthrough for us. So we knew we had a good product, and we needed to put it in stores.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Yeah, and the, you know, there's so much to it, like beyond just the balancing ship, like the pieces that you guys have designed and how well they all kind of fit together for the stacking elements of the game is really cool. I don't know. You know, I'm still not 1,000% sold on the thematic element that is the chopsticks, but I still think they're a really cool part of the game, because that's not something I would have thought of, but it does add, you know, that's a really cool card, like the spinning element. I mean, there are some great things that are simple in if you just hear it and, you know, don't really think about it. You're like, yeah, spinning it makes sense to make it more challenging and stuff, but just all of it seems to come together really well into a game that's a lot more than it appears at first glance.
Yeah, it took a lot of work to get all those challenges right to where we wanted to be. They used to have other names, and we had so many. We had a lot more than just didn't make the cuts.
There's deleted scenes. So are you? Do you feel like you can tell us some of the things that didn't make the cut?
Well, some that were like not really challenging, like using your offhand or, you
know, yeah,
opposite hand, is it?
Yeah, like if you're right-handed, you use the left hand, kind of thing. Yeah,
right. It wasn't really challenging. I mean, some people are not ambidextrous, but performing the task of the game with the left hand is really not much of a challenge. A lot of people are saying, "Oh, why don't you add another one?" And then that's the one that comes up all the time. Like, why don't you add, you know, left hand or right hand, whatever. And, you know, funny that they ask is that they just didn't make the cut. And it's not as hard as people think it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one that didn't make the cut. I can't think of another one right now, but there was a list that we're just running through. And then now this one work. And then some that were way too complicated. And some that just didn't really work well with the game.
Yeah.
Funny that you mentioned the chopsticks. That was one night that we were playtesting a game here at home. We still haven't shown it to the public at all. And we were thinking about challenges. And I remember I played, and my dad had won that round that night. And I was like, oh, man, why did he win? I should have beat him. And we ate Chinese that night. And then he said, oh, I eat with forks, so you don't use chopsticks? No, I don't know how to use chopsticks. And I was like, yeah. now I know what I'm gonna do in the game.
There we go.
So I made the prototype cards with the chopsticks. And I was like, I had a new card. Look at this. I was like, what? Yeah, get to it. So now they know how to use chopsticks pretty well.
That's awesome.
Them at the beginning. Yeah.
That's fantastic. You never know what's going to inspire your next great idea. But make sure you have food around, I think, is the moral of that story. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. You said, you know, like we said, this is a family affair. So it sounds like you guys grew up playing a lot of games together. Is that still kind of the case? I know you guys are kind of all global and stuff, but are you still able to play some games from time to time? Or like what kind of games did you grow up playing besides this one?
Yeah, there was a lot of like card games that we played when we were young. Like, I would say Donkey, for example, like a reflex game. There was one that we played that was called Reflex, where you put all the cards in the center, and then whenever a card that you say it's put on the table, everybody has to put their hand down as fast as they can. That was one that I really played and enjoyed with my brothers and sisters. We played Imperium. I think it's called Imperio, which is kind of like a Monopoly.
Okay.
We played Uno, of course, you know, all those games. Yeah. Pickup Sticks, I think that's what it's called here.
Yeah.
And of course, the first prototype of Gravity Warfare.
Yeah, the very first prototype. You guys had it way back then. This is, you know, you guys are on Kickstarter. You've already met your goal, but now we're reaching for those stretch goals. Is there anything else you'd want to say to anybody that's thinking about supporting your game?
We definitely would appreciate your support. Even if you don't want to get the game for yourself, anything would help, especially for all the gamers out there that want to get all the stretch goals achieved or unlocked, you know. Anything you can do to help, that's really awesome. But you got to get the game. A lot of people see the game, and it's very visual. When you go see that table, it has a lot of table presence, and people are really drawn to it. But it's one of those games what I like about the game, really, is that even though you're losing, you're having a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Every time that I'm playing the game and I'm showing it to people, and I'm always trying to be like the coordinator to try to bend the rules a little bit for the person that's behind. But even then, they just slam all these challenges on them to try to make them lose, and they drop everything. And even though they're the last place and they're losing, they're like, oh my God, I lost. And they're smiling. So they're having a good time. And that's really awesome. That's what I really like about the game.
I think dexterity games like these really bring a lot of Rick and I have talked about this on the podcast in the past, that dexterity games have that really rare feature that they bring multiple generations to the table. You think about it, like, you know, I remember watching families, and actually Rick has a similar story, families playing spoons and grabbing spoons from the middle of the table, and like the old and the young are playing and everybody's having a good time. I remember Jenga first came out when I was a kid. I remember having a great time with my family around the dinner table playing Jenga. And just because you were a little kid didn't mean that you were going to do poorly. The dexterity games like Gravity Warfare are games that bring everyone to the table. And that's something that's really important to us at One Board Family.
Well, you know, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast with us and telling us about your game. We're going to be keeping track of it, and we're excited about it. And we're also looking forward to any great things that Smart Iguana is able to put out in the future. So, and when that happens, we hope you'll come back to the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely we will. We have a lot of titles that are in development or in the works, at least. I have about 19 ideas that I'm playing with,
man,
and, 3 or 4 that are fairly, prototyped. I still want to get like a really nice prototype to show at conventions and everything before I start making it public, because I think that's really key in showing, even if you're in the early stages of a prototype and you're a game designer, try not to go to conventions, especially big conventions, with like a paper white and black or black and white, you know, printout. Try to use some imagery, some illustrations. You don't have to go all out, just a little something out there. If you have a friend that draws, just give him a couple bucks and have him, hey, can you paint a donkey for me so I can put it on this card? That really helps a lot, especially with publishers. But not only that, just as a presence on the table, you're showing a game that you're calling as your baby or something you've been working on, really show that you care about it and you've been working on the game.
Definitely. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks again. And yeah, keep us updated. And we look forward to you guys putting out more and wish you great success in your Kickstarter.
Thank you for having me.
Now paging the Game Doctor. Game Doctor, please report to room 101.
Dr. Rick, how are you doing? Do you feel like you're ready to prescribe some games today?
I am ready for some prescriptions. I got my pad out.
Nice.
And we're ready to go, sir.
All right. Well, we've got a question from a patient. Shannon Winters writes us on Facebook. The kids, with quotation marks, in our family are all in their 40s. My parents are in their 70s. We grew up playing Pictionary Phase 10. So much Phase 10. Now the kids are trying desperately to get some new games in the lineup, games that they can get and they're deep enough for us to enjoy. We've done Ticket to Ride, Splendor, Small World, Castle Panic, Sushi Go, all good games. Ticket to Ride and Splendor were about as good as they get. Dad grumbles the entire time and doesn't know what's going on, and he scores pretty well. Mom, bless her, is all game, but she gets confused easily. She likes Mexican Train also. She said, Shannon writes, I am desperate for suggestions. I just need a guiding light. I think we can be that guiding light today, Rick.
Oh, yeah. I think we can definitely throw some suggestions their way and maybe get them on the path to some other games. Really, it sounds like they've got some good, solid games here. Splendor, I've played Splendor a few times with people, and they find it to be really kind of a hard thinker game. I actually haven't gotten it to the table in a while. But yeah, if they're enjoying that and Ticket to Ride, I mean, you're off to a great start already. So maybe we can just throw some ideas your way to try to round out that collection.
Yeah.
But I can play Ticket to Ride whenever. That's a fun game. So, let's see what we can come up with.
I think, let me qualify some things. I think that Both my wife's side of the family and my side of the family, we have very similar situations. My dad, if it's not rolling dice and putting dice somewhere, he doesn't want anything to do with it. And then on my wife's side of the family, her dad, he usually just says, oh, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. And then he ends up winning by a ton of points the whole time. Mm-hmm. I think a game, something social, like social interaction, I would say, what about Sheriff of Nottingham?
That's a good one. Yeah, I think Sheriff of Nottingham has a good element of interaction where, you know, the strategy and the deep thinking that it sounds like is not completely desired by all the players can come into play. It takes probably a round, maybe a practice round of Sheriff of Nottingham to kind of get everybody used to what's going on. I find that players really struggle with the idea of having only one good being passed through. They frequently will say things like, I have two bread and two chickens. And it's like, no, you've got to just do one. Like, there's a few rules that I have found don't stick sometimes when I play this game with people, but it's a good one. I like Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah. I think a second one for me would be Azul. We've talked about Azul before. My mother-in-law is, I taught my mother-in-law how to play during Easter this year, and she really enjoys gaming. But I think that sometimes when mechanics are kind of weird, she gets mixed up and things like that. So Azul was actually a really good one. I think we played twice and she really liked it both times. So Azul might be one that you can check out. It's an abstract game, but I think that it has some value, where if you teach it well and go through it a little bit, I think that one might be a good one to get to the table.
Definitely. I always like some like more simple card games. Like with a, by simple, I mean you don't have a big board and you don't have a whole lot of stuff involved, just kind of a sit down and play it card game with family. I think those can kind of get people involved because you, there's a lot of people that in their families, they play games like spades or they play games like spoons, stuff like that. There seems to be a lot of families that have that as a tradition. So going into a game that's cards, but maybe just slightly different ways to play, I think kind of gives a nice entryway in for people. So games like Yardmaster, which we talked about, I actually traded away. Sadly, I'm starting to regret that, but it's okay. Once I play Photosynthesis, I'm sure I'll be fine with it.
Sure.
But Yardmaster is a cool game where you're building up a train in front of you. So maybe you've got kind of that Ticket to Ride and a card game element coming together for the family, but you're playing cards in front of you to represent the cars of your train. And there are certain rules that affect what cars you can put down and attach to your train. And you're trying to get your train to add up to 15 points or more before anybody else does. It's a nice little card game that I think is pretty easy to learn and I think can get people involved pretty quickly. Kind of going along with the card game feel, another one that I like that I haven't gotten to play in a while, though, is Red 7. Red 7 is a pretty interesting game that has seven cards of seven different colors. And the rules, it always describes, the rules are very simple. The highest card wins. But the rule that you are playing changes based on the color of the card that is the current rule setting card. So it might be that if the card is red, the highest card wins. But if you have an orange card setting the rule, then the most of one number is what will win the game. Or blue is the most of different colors would win you the game. So it's kind of an interesting spin on a card game that I don't think is really out there and available in all that many shapes and forms. So Red 7, and it's also, I think, really easy to get a copy of it. So Red 7 might be one that I would recommend that they check out.
If going in that line of card games, Fuji Flush is a fun one. It's kind of a quick game. You think of something like Uno where you're trying to get rid of all your cards in your hand. Fuji Flush is basically just a game where you're trying to flush the cards quicker than everybody else. If you lay down a 13 and nobody beats your 13, when it comes back around to your turn and the 13 is still on the table, that 13 goes into the trash permanently and you continue on one with one card less than everybody else. That's a really good one. And if your parents like dice games, my dad has actually really liked Vegas Dice. Rick, you did a review for Vegas Dice. That was, I think at the time, and I don't know if it still is, it was a Target exclusive around Christmas this past year.
Yeah, they bought up a license. Somebody did, but it was basically called Las Vegas, I believe, before. And it's the same concept. They just changed it to Vegas Dice Game. So the mechanic here is you're rolling your dice and then placing dice of a number onto one of the casinos that are represented. So each casino is represented by a number 1 through 6. And then at the end of the game, if you have the most dice at a casino, then you win the money at that casino. There are some cool rules that involve ties and how they can eliminate competition. There are cool rules with neutral dice that are really fun. So Vegas Dice Game has always been a nice one for me to kind of bring with me to start off a game night anywhere and kind of gets people going really quickly. I like that one a lot. I've been trying to think of, it sounds like, you know, big board games are not a huge problem. If, you know, the Ticket to Ride and Splendor have been going well. So, I mean, there might be other categories. I hope we're not oversimplifying anything for our patient here, because there might be other games out there that would work. Downforce, I think, is a game that is, you know, it's a board game that has a very easy to master concept and I think that could be enjoyable. I mean, as long as the theme seems to work well with the family.
Downforce, as long as people don't, I guess, prejudge Downforce for being a quote-unquote racing game, it's not really a racing game. It's a betting game. That's what it is. And
right.
So the mechanics are pretty easy. Actually, the hardest thing in the beginning of the game is the hardest thing is actually when you start the game and you're bidding on your cars. Everything else is so easy. And so we've had a great time with that from people. We've played with people who as young as 7 years old up to 62, 63, playing Downforce. And so that one has gone over really, really well, especially in a family setting. So Downforce might be a good one to look at for you guys. So hopefully that gives you a couple, Shannon, hopefully that gives you a couple different games to go with. And hopefully for anybody out there who's looking for games for their parents who are a little older and you're looking for a little meatier game, hopefully some of these would be a hit. Chances are you're not going to get your parents to play Gloomhaven. You know, it's like, hey, look, I bought have this giant box and we're going to play a 2-hour campaign. Let's go. It's not going to happen.
Right.
But if you can play something that is fun for everybody, that's a huge win.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of the games that we review on our website are for these kinds of situations. And so if you've found that certain games are working, you know, you find a limit to the number of mechanics that can be happening or anything like that in your particular gaming group, then keep looking for that. As we continue to add reviews to our website, hopefully we can find some things that will work great for you and your family.
That's right. So cool. Doctor, thank you for scrubbing in and helping us with this this prescription today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I had to scrub in to write a prescription. It was very odd. I don't really know why I had to do it, but I did.
Well, I mean, you want to make sure that your hands are clean when you're holding pens and papers and things like that.
Pens can get icky.
Yeah, they can be. Cold and flu season, you know?
Totally.
Anyway, you can find us. We are One Board Family. This is the One Board Podcast. We thank you for listening. Do you know what you could do for us? You could rate us on iTunes. You could tell somebody about us. You could publish it on Facebook, maybe, or tell somebody on Twitter. Be like, hey, listen to this podcast. These guys are not the worst thing on the internet.
Yeah, I can only make so many fake accounts before I start to feel guilty about it.
That's true. I have noticed more subscribers, and I've also noticed that they're all Rick and some last name. I wish you would hide it a little better.
Yeah, probably shouldn't just change the number each time for each new account that I make.
Well, it's kind of like you do your password for everything, 12345.
Exactly.
Mean, it's right in line with everything else.
There you go.
So you can find us on Instagram at One Board Family. You can find us on Twitter at the same place. You can also find us on Facebook if you're looking for board game deals or just want to know what we're up to and see some of our reviews that we're posting. Check us out there. We've actually got a new review up this week for Deep Sea Adventure, a game that we absolutely love in our family and have not written about before. So we're correcting that wrong now. So,
Hooray.
Yay. And thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate you guys.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, we'll see you at the table.
Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.